So up next, we have clean slate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. Clean slate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice and where you can listen each and every day. And a great program lined up for you. Michael Brandow will be with us at the bottom of hour after that, third hour. We'll be talking with him about, does everything have to be about race? And he's written an interesting book that kind of tries to poke at that. It's called What's the Problem Now? Black Grievances and White Guilt. So we'll have a conversation with Michael about that. Don Jans is with us. Can we restore America? We'll be visiting with Don about that topic coming up, and kind of get into that. Can we bring America back? The return of America's foundation is what we need. And then Adrian Kubecki, who is the general counsel for Poland in New York. We'll talk with him about what's happening now. I predicted a few weeks ago that the entire Wagner thing was a farce in order to set troops up in Belarus for an invasion of Poland. And guess what? They're bombing the border at Poland. Yes, Russia is bombing the border at Poland. Just kind of warming up for an invasion. Everybody thinks that he's God's savior. I just had a gentleman on yesterday who did a documentary about what's happening to the orphans in Ukraine and in Lviv in particular, and what the Russians are doing in raping women and children. He documented it. I don't get it. I don't get it. As a former Russian linguist who served during the Cold War, I know who Putin is. He's KGB. He's godless. And he's using the church in the same way that Hitler did. The church was proliferate in propagating Nazi propaganda during the Hitler regime. The Christian church. Watch Return to the Hiding Place. You'll get the real history. As the cars went by behind, as the youth that were hiding in Corey Ten Boom's home were meeting with the leaders of the churches in Holland, and the cars with the Jews in them were going by behind them, and they could hear the screams through the walls and the windows, and those young people were pleading with the leaders of the church to help, and the leaders of the church said, "Nope, not interested." That's what's going on in Russia. Anyway, we'll talk about some of that stuff. And then, of course, right now, I want to welcome to the program. Well, no, and then judges are protecting child predators. We'll have a guest on to talk about the evidence that supports that. But joining me right now, we got to get right to it because we're going to run. I'm running them out of time. Can we remain amoral and immoral and survive as a nation? Is it possible? What does history tell us? Bill Federer here to talk about it. American Minute, Bill Federer. Bill, welcome. Good to have you.
Hey, Greg. Good to be with you.
So can a nation, what happens to in history to republics or democracies where the majority of the people and the policies turn amoral and I would argue, and I think many others would as well, immoral, such as we have here?
Yeah. Well, that's a great question, and I answer it actually in a book called Socialism, the Real History from Plato to the Present. And why Plato? Well, Plato was the first one that talked about everybody owning everything in common. And it sounds good till you think it through. Somebody has to be in the government handing out the common stuff. And they're always going to want to prefer their family and friends and not, I'm going to be favorable toward their political opponents. And so it gets discretionary. And the saying is, he who holds the purse strings has the power. So every attempt at everybody owning everything equally always ends up with a deep state bureaucracy passing out favors to their friends. Anyway, in the book, I cite J.D. Unwin. And he was a Oxford anthropologist, wrote a book in 1935 called Sex and Culture. And in the book, he identified 80 major civilizations over a 5,000-year period of time. And he found out that immorality and sexual promiscuity always precedes the collapse of a civilization. And he looked at the Greeks and the Romans and the Babylonians and the Assyrians and all the way up the French Revolution. And he said that civilizations go through life cycles, very similar to a plant where it's a seed, a seedling, it sprouts up, and then it gets fully matured and it's bearing fruit, and then it gets old and rotten and dies. And he calls the first stage a period of pain and poverty. And so the civilization goes through a war, but they go through a famine, they work hard, and they get productive, and they pull themselves up, and then they work together, and they become patriotic. And then they finally achieve prosperity. And then they want to enjoy prosperity, and they get promiscuous, lazy, indulgent, and then conquered by the next rising civilization. Sort of like an athlete, when he's young, he does push-ups, and he's focused, he exercises, watches his diet. He wants that championship. And then ultimately, finally, he gets it, and he's the champ for a couple seasons. And then he gets a little lazy, and he doesn't exercise as much, and he eats some fatty foods, and then he gets challenged into the ring of competition, and in his brain, he still thinks he's the tough guy, but in reality, he's a couch potato. And he goes in there, and he gets the tar knocked out of him, and the next guy is the champ for a couple seasons. And he even calls it a sexual marketplace. He says when women as a whole say nothing happens unless there's a commitment, the men make the commitment and go out and work hard to make their wives happy. And when all the men of the country do this, the country becomes productive. And then something else happens. There are children that appear, and the guy becomes protective. And when all the men of the country are productive and protective, rising water floats all boats. The whole country becomes productive, protective, creative, innovative, expansionistic, even militaristic. And but he said when the women as a whole, as a, you know, group, as a collective, say there does not need to be a commitment, then you'll have guys getting selfish and pleasure focused and indulgent and, you know, sort of the Hunter Biden syndrome. I mean, they're going to be just totally consumed with their own pleasure. They're going to be irresponsible. And then there'll be fewer children born to fill the ranks of the military. And the country ends up becoming weakened, and then they become victim of attack. And so he said it's irreversible. Once a nation starts to go down the road of immorality, there is no stopping it. Why? Because human nature wants it. Yeah. Human nature, what, when you take the fence off of human restraints, then you're opening a floodgate of this, and it's hard to reel it back in.
Isn't that, you know, what John Adams said, right? Our Constitution itself, that document, is fit only for a moral people.
Right. There's another quote from John Adams to Thomas Jefferson. Have you ever found in history one example of a nation thoroughly corrupt that was afterwards returned to virtue? Can you tell me how to prevent luxury from producing effeminacy? He said, no effort in favor of virtue is lost.
Wow. Say that again. How can you prevent luxury from creating effeminacy?
Yeah, so this is John Adams writing to Thomas Jefferson in 1818. And he says, can you tell me how to prevent luxury from producing effeminacy? He said, no effort in favor of virtue is lost. So when the country becomes prosperous, then people want to enjoy their prosperity. They get promiscuous. And once you take that off, there's no there's no moral restraint. Now, ancient Israel, they were able to keep their system going a little longer than Greece. The democracy that took place in Greece was sort of on again, off again. It had a city of 6,000 people in their city-state. But you go almost 1,000 years before ancient Greece, and you have ancient Israel when they come out of Egypt around 1400 BC. And this is the first time, people don't really realize this, the most common form of government in world history is kings. Nimrod, Pharaoh, Caesar, Kaiser, Sultan, Tsar. That's the norm. Gangs is the default setting of human government. And all a king is a glorified gang leader.
I'm curious, Bill, in what you said. So I'm looking up the definition of effeminacy, and essentially it is men behaving in a womanly manner.
Yeah.
So describe what John Adams in that context, because you were talking about, you know, men being protectors, right? Men being basically hunters, going out and fighting for their families on behalf of their families, those kinds of things. Talk to me, if you would, about how they would have perceived that or what that would have looked like to them.
Yeah, so you have the different kings of England.
Okay.
You had Henry VIII and then his daughter, Queen Elizabeth. And then you have King James of England. And then there's King James, King Charles I. He gets his head chopped off. There's King Charles II. And then you come down to Oliver Cromwell, Richard Cromwell. The House of Stuart is restored. And you got James II. And then after James is driven out, you have William and Mary. And then they have, after that is Queen Anne.
Okay.
And so Queen Anne was the queen for 5 years and 55 days from 1702 to 1707. Well, she had a relative who was the governor of New York. And he would dress as a woman.
Oh, my gosh.
He would come in with makeup and with all the flowery clothes. And the people in New York were like, what do we do?
Right.
And so this was way back in, 1702 to 1707. You got, and so the founders were used to the royalty becoming sexually indulgent. You look at the Roman emperors, Julius Caesar, Augustus Caesar, Tiberius.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tiberius had an Epstein Island. It was called Capri. And he would have all of his immoralities there. They would even have children. They would gather the children up so that they could be defiled by the emperor. And another one, Caligula, had a barge. And it was the barge of royal pleasures. And they would gather up these children to be brought onto, the Hunter Biden stuff and the Jeffrey
right.
Epstein stuff. And,
right.
And, sort of Bill Clinton with all the women. I mean, when they were going through the Lewinsky trial and they asked Bill Clinton why he did it, he said, because I could. In other words, when you have power unrestrained by morality, it is going to push the limits. And of course, after sexual immorality comes murder, the children that being killed, the children are just abused and killed. And this happens throughout history. You look at just about every, there's Sardanapalus, who was like the last emperor of Assyria. And he had all of his, concubines and everything. And then Assyria is being invaded by Babylon, right? Nebuchadnezzar. And so the Sardanapalus... in his palace, when he finds out his city is being breached and invaded, he gets all of the concubines in his bedroom and he has them all killed in front of him. And then finally he, sets the place on fire and he burns up his palace and dies with them all. Now ancient Israel, I mentioned them, their experiment in self-government lasted a little longer because they had a big magnet in the sky called God.
Right.
Virtuous because you were accountable to God. And it worked for 400 years until the priest stopped teaching the law. You said the priest stopped teaching the law in Israel? Yeah, here's Eli, the high priest.
Hophni and Phinehas that were just abhorrent.
Yeah, they're sleeping with women in the very tent where the Ark of the Covenant was.
So I want to stop you for just a second. I apologize, but we've got about 10 minutes left, and I want to make sure that you get an opportunity to speak to this. When I have conversations, and I've had, I can't even tell you how many conversations I've had with political people who tell me, well, when I start to talk to them about morality, about the Bible, about being moral, about sexual immorality, the homosexual agenda, all of these kinds of things, they immediately will say to me, all you're concerned about is social issues. We have much more important things to discuss.
It's interesting. That's the same response during the Civil War. The Republican Party, for those not familiar, the Democrats pushed through the Fugitive Slave Law. And that's where if a slave escapes and goes north, you, as a federal law, you had to snitch on your neighbor if they were hiding slaves in their barn, trying to sneak them up to Wisconsin or Canada. And so there was a black man named Joshua Glover, and he was captured under this Democrat Fugitive Slave Law Act, and he was put in a Milwaukee jail. 5,000 white Wisconsins storm the Milwaukee jail and free Joshua Glover. In 2 days later, these same white Republicans meet in Ripon, Wisconsin, and form a brand new political party called the Republican Party. And it was a social party. There were two planks in the original Republican Party platform. One, the elimination of slavery. And two, standing up for biblical marriage.
No way.
In Utah, you had a group saying that you could have multiple wives.
Polygamy, yeah.
And so you can, you know, Google it, or you can get my books. But the original plank of the Republican Party.
Get which book? Tell them what book. Tell them what book to get.
Well, the first one I would get is this Socialism, the Real History from Plato to the Present.
Okay.
Another one is called Who is the King in America?
And they go to AmericanMinute.com, right? They can go there.
AmericanMinute.com.
Yeah. Okay. And I just want to make sure we get that in. Bill and I met, goodness gracious, 10 years ago. Must have been 10 years ago in Austin, Texas. And my wife and I just fell in love with Bill. We had the honor of being able to give him a ride to the airport and getting to know him even better in the car on the way there. And I love this man. This guy is just such a treasure. He is such a treasure. And we bought a ton of your books. I just love everything you do, man. I love everything you do.
Well, thank you for driving me to the airport. I remember that you and your wife are so special. You're a miracle, man. I'm very just in awe about how God has used you and all that you've been through. And here you are impacting so many millions of people. And so, Greg, you're a champion. And
thank you.
But I do think that the issue that you're talking about is so vital.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a teeter-totter, you have one side go up, the other side go down. If you are going to have fewer internal restraints in a country, then the people need to have more external restraints. If you remove the external restraints, then you have to correspondingly increase the internal restraints. One of the quotes from the founders said, talking about in 1789, the French started the French Revolution, and they chopped off the heads of King Louis XVI and Marie Antoinette, and they chopped off the heads of the royalty. It didn't get better. They chopped off the heads of the wealthy. You have money, we don't, you're selfish. It didn't get better. Then they chopped off the heads of the farmers and the businessmen, because you have food and supplies, we don't, you're selfish. Then they chopped off the heads of the hoarders, the people that were having extra food stored up. You got extra, we don't have enough, you're selfish. Then they chopped off the heads of the preachers, the clergy, because they were speaking out against the head chopping off stuff. Then they chopped off the heads of the former revolutionaries, the ones that used to chop off heads but got tired of it, somehow they're to blame. 30,000 people had their heads chopped off in Paris, France. They were doing it so much they had to invent a nice, clean head chopping off machine called the guillotine, right? And so the motto of the French Revolution was liberty, equality, fraternity. Sounds nice, doesn't work. Liberty is experienced individually. Fraternity is their word for socialism. It's the collective, the group, the mob, the state. And equality can be understood two ways. In America, it was equal treatment before the law. In France, it was everyone having an equal amount of stuff. And if the fraternité, the collective, the group, the mob, the state, thinks you have too much individual stuff, it can trample your individual liberty, confiscate all your stuff, redistribute it, and kill you.
Wow.
And so it turned into this bloodbath in France. And so the founders in America were scratching their heads, and Edmund Burke in England was scratching his head. It's like, look, we thought that if you got rid of the king, then the people will have freedom and it'll be great. They didn't realize that there's a ditch on the other side of the road, that freedom without internal morality will turn into chaos. And out of that chaos, everyone will panic and say, we want someone to come along with enough power to restore order. So what happens after the French Revolution? Napoleon comes along. He has his cannons in the street and he fires grape shot, you know, and mows them all down. And before you know it, he puts the crown on his head and he's an emperor. So democracy without morals and virtue ends in chaos. And out of that chaos, you get a dictator. This is sort of the model that the KGB and the CIA have used for 70 years through the Cold War. So after World War II, you had brand new countries being formed in Europe. And the Soviet Union did not like these free republics. And so they would send in KGB agents who would do critical theory. What's that? They would observe the country and all the groups ethnically, Croats, Serbians, Orthodox, Sunni, Shiite, you know, the proletariat, the bourgeois. They would identify all the groups and then they would label some victims, others oppressors, haves and have nots. Then they would pit them against each other till there was chaos and rioting and immorality. And then everybody would say, we want someone to come along and restore order. And then they would do a coup or a rigged election and replace the leader with a Soviet puppet. And so the idea is, if you want to create a dictatorship, the first thing you have to do is you have to create chaos. You have to let criminals out of jail over and over again. You have to bring in people from other countries and lots of immigrants and have there be lawlessness. And what if you have rioting and burning in cities? Then you're going to have people saying, government, come in and stop this. And the government's like, we were waiting for you to ask. We're going to come in and take away your guns. Oh, and by the way, we're going to take away your freedom of speech because you might say something that sets the other person off. Right. We're going to take, we're going to track you everywhere you go. We're going to, and so in, if you create chaos, that is the step right before a dictatorship. And so how do you create chaos? You have to take off moral restraints. You have to teach the kids in school, there is no right, there is no wrong, there is no God. You can kill a baby in the womb. You can feel like a boy today, a girl tomorrow. You can feel like a fuzzy. You can feel like a kitty cat. And these kids get out of school and they're like, there's no feeling. There's no borders. There are no guidelines. And they just turn into criminals, right? And then when there's that chaos, then everybody says, government, come in and restore order. And that's when you get your dictatorship.
And this is precisely, I mean, this is a formula. This is exactly the formula that is being presently used. And going back to the original question about, you know, can an amoral or an immoral culture survive? And I think the preponderance of evidence as you've presented it today is that history tells us the answer to that question is unequivocally no, it cannot.
It's like you give your teenager the car keys and you tell him you're a good kid. You have internal morals. You can come home whenever you think it's right. But if you don't follow those internal morals and start drinking and driving and partying, you're going to be pulled over by the police and put in jail behind bars. So, teenager, you're going to be controlled either voluntarily from the inside or forcibly from the outside. Same way with a nation. We're going to be controlled either voluntarily with internal morals accountable to God who's watching everyone and wants us to be fair. Or we're going to say there is no God, there is no morals, there's no right, wrong. Just follow your passions. It's going to turn into chaos. And out of that chaos, you're going to say people are going to say, government, restore order. The government's like, okay, we're going to restore order, but we're going to do it behind bars.
Right. And you're going to have this authoritarian, this tyrannical behavior. And we're witnessing it. And we'll talk about more of that throughout the program today. AmericanMinute.com. AmericanMinute.com. Show them the book again, Bill, real quick, please.
Yeah, it's called Socialism, the Real History from Plato to the Present.
There you go. Pick up the book. We stay informed. The Word of God says in Hosea, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. It's so important that we understand this and so that we can argue back when they say, oh, those are just social issues. Fools. If we don't get the morals right, we won't get any of it right. You can't build a house without a foundation, and that's the foundation. Bill Federer, God bless you and thank you for all that you're doing. AmericanMinute.com. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up. Elon Strulovic will be with me next, and we'll be talking about the judges and the immoral acts of the judges coming up right after this brief break.